Hey everyone, welcome to Tech Talk. Hope you're doing great this weekend, and thank you for making Tech Talk a small part of it. Whether you're tech shy or tech savvy, or maybe somewhere in between, this show was designed to straddle the fence, to not leave anyone behind. And I think you're really going to enjoy this week's show. This hour, we're going to learn about a collection of digital toys for toddlers that spark imagination and learning. It's from a Toronto-based company called PocPoc. Home Equity Bank has partnered with an organization that helps homeless veterans, and they've created a powerful metaverse experience for you to try out for free. Intel is back this hour for our last chat this summer about the Intel vPro platform that empowers IT professionals. And finally, we talk with the president and CEO of HP Canada, Mary Ann Newell, about sustainability. All of this and more on an all-new Tech Talk, powered by the Chevrolet Bolt EUV, an electric utility vehicle, which I'll tell you more about shortly as well. But let's officially kick off the show with our first interview. Technology enhances every industry, I'd argue, and this includes education. With this in mind, we're now going to learn about PocPoc. It is an Apple Design Award-winning digital collection of handmade toys designed to spark imagination, creativity, and learning through open-ended play. To tell us more, we're joined by Melissa Cash. She's co-founder and CEO at PocPoc, based in Toronto. Hi, Melissa. Good to chat with you.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, before we talk about PocPoc, which for our listeners is spelled P-O-K-P-O-K. How do you define digital play and what are the benefits?
That's a great question. So digital play comes in many, many forms. But to me and to us at PocPoc, it's any interactive experience that sparks joy and encourages people to have fun in a digital space. And for us at PocPoc, our whole mission is really to bring some of the wonderment of physical toys into a digital space. So rather than kind of pegging them as games, we see them more as digital toys.
Sure. But I guess the trick is to make it fun enough that it's sticky so that the child wants to stay in PocPoc, for example, even though they may not realize they're learning something, you know, it's like a fine line, right?
Absolutely. Striking the balance between play and learning is really interesting. Very often they're one and the same, actually. And kids do learn best through play, especially at a very young age. So if you want your child to learn something, have them play, whether that's digital or not digital.
Sure.
That's when the juices really start flowing.
Great. So with that in mind, please tell us about PocPoc at a high level.
Sure. So our first product is PocPoc Playroom. It's a collection of digital toys that you said spark imagination and creativity through open-ended play. And what that really means is we're building digital toys in a very new and innovative way. So we want kids to follow their noses, explore, think outside of the box, problem solve, and really develop core life skills through play, just like they would, you know, on the floor of their playroom at home, but in a digital space.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you in a moment to walk us through, you know, what a typical PocPoc session may be like, but who would you say this is for exactly? It sounds like it's for younger kids, like toddlers.
Yeah, absolutely. So PocPoc Playroom is really designed to grow with kids between the ages of 2 and 6. So we design the toys so that there's something challenging and rewarding for kids at 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And as somebody with kids, I can tell you they grow insanely fast. So that's actually one of our biggest design challenges, but it also is what makes PocPoc really unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Keeping it scalable. Got it. All right. So without further ado, can you walk us through how PocPoc Playroom works?
Sure. So when you open up the playroom, you see a bunch of different circles with a little icon on them, and each one represents a different toy. That is all the kids see. There are no menus, no language, no ads, and definitely no fluff. So kids can just pick a toy and start playing. If they want to go back to the playroom, it's just one tap. Each of the toys are designed for open-ended play, which means every child plays with them completely differently, and each play session can be different. So for example, we have a toy called Town. It's essentially an open-ended, open-world town filled with cars and houses and people and markets and a river and boats and so many little secret surprises throughout. And we designed that actually with a New York City urban planner to make sure that it wasn't only, you know, a real viable city, but also one that's eco-friendly and kind of paints a picture of the future world that we know our kids are going to grow up to be living in. And so kids can explore, they can We have kids who honestly just spend 20 minutes collecting all of the garbage and recycling from different vestibules in the town and taking it to the recycling center. Then we have kids who like to match the red cars with the red houses. Then we have ones who just really want to find all the animals and do silly things with them, like put a seagull on the Ferris wheel. So really, the play is completely limitless. And right now, Pock Pock Playroom is available on iOS only, so iPad or iPhone. And we've designed it to be a subscription. And the reason for that is really just because kids never stop being curious. So we want to make sure we're constantly iterating and pushing the boundaries of digital play. So we update the playroom every 4 to 6 weeks with either expansions to some of our existing toys, like the town, for example, is a really fun one that we keep updating, or welcoming brand new toys to the playroom as well.
All right. So you did say open-ended, and you gave us some examples to prove that. So there's no story, there's no like narrative, there's no puzzles to solve or anything like that?
So that all comes through the child. So for example, we have a house and it's inspired by a dollhouse. And within the house, you know, we've designed it to give kids the opportunity to find things that they might identify as a problem and then try to solve them. But we have a lot of kids who don't even go through that storytelling narrative when they play with house, which is the most common way to play with a dollhouse, for example, is to, you know, go to the kitchen, make a snack, feed it to mom, do the laundry, go to the bathroom. And yes, we have a working toilet, of course. But we have kids who honestly just go to the basement of the playroom and sort the toys by color or size. And the reason that we design each different toy in Pock Pock to have all of these different types of play opportunities is because every child plays very differently. So it really gives them the chance to grow with the experience instead of grow out of the experience.
And what does it teach kids exactly? It sounds like there's a few different things. And I know you work with several educators and other related professions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So open-ended play is something that is really empowering for young kids, especially when they're under the age of 5, when their brains are undergoing just insane development every single day. Naturally, we've built in a lot of different types of play for that. So some of the core skills are creativity and imagination, and really encouraging kids to think outside of the box and frankly think for themselves. But there's also a lot of problem solving. There's a lot of STEM-based design in there that teaches kids about cause and effect and gravity and physics and all of those things. And then we also have a lot of social emotional learning built in. So the people, they react in different ways, but it's all neutral enough so that kids can add their own feelings. So if you tap on a character, they don't speak English. There's a little bit of gibberish that happens, but that's there so that kids can fill in the story themselves. Is this person happy? Are they sad? Are they excited? And that really helps with social emotional learning. And then we have some more puzzle-based experiences that, for example, one is called Buttons and Sounds or the Busy Board. This one is really just a bunch of doodads and trinkets that are kind of like fidget spinners, but each of them has an entire world in itself for kids to explore. And so there's a lot of really interesting puzzling going on as well. And we also have a drawing toy where kids can literally just draw anything they want on a blank canvas, and it saves automatically in the parents area of the app. So there's all different types of learning happening depending on which toy they're engaging with.
We are chatting with Melissa Cash, co-founder and CEO at Pock Pock, a collection of digital toys that encourage learning for toddlers. How did you come up with the concept and the name as well? Pock Pock.
Well, the name is a fun, easy one. My co-founders, Esther and Mateus, they're husband and wife team, and their kids actually inspired the idea for Pock Pock. And the name comes from their son, James. He was a newborn baby at the time, and they were trying to make him laugh, which if you have kids, you know, is like the most exciting thing on the planet. And basically, they were doing everything that they could to make him laugh. Nothing was working. And finally, they would use his hand to poke his own like chubby baby cheek. And they just kept saying this word, pock, over and over, pock, 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 pock. And it, without fail, every single time made him burst out laughing. So that became very synonymous in their family with like fun and whimsy and happiness. And when we came up with the idea for Pock Pock as a company, Esther was like, I've got the name on lock. It's got to be Pock Pock. And the idea, so like I sort of alluded to, you know, their kids inspired the idea for the app. So their oldest son had turned 2 when their second son was born. And, you know, they started looking around on the app store for educational, but also creative experiences for their 2-year-old to engage with on his own while they tended to the newborn or worked or really just like had 5 seconds to themselves. And when they started looking, they really weren't finding anything that they felt great about, because a lot of what was out there was very, you know, overstimulating and more sort of addictive video games that weren't really designed for 2 or 3-year-olds. And then very pedagogical apps that were only centered around the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s, but, you know, their 2-year-old couldn't even read yet. And they were really wondering, like, where are all of the awesome, cool, and like empowering educational toys from our living room floor? Why don't they exist in a digital space? And that's when we started talking, and they came up with the idea for a digital busy book, which is basically like a look and search book where you have a bunch of images. And when you tap on one, it would animate very gently and make a little sound that would sort of teach a child what that thing is. And that was the original idea. And then we started chatting and iterating and playing, frankly, and realized that open-ended play is something that up until very recently hasn't really been delved into in the digital space. And so we wanted to not only just create one experience, but many. And that's when we decided to build a playroom of toys that we could continuously update and really use to try to help raise this next generation of kids to be like creative, empowered thinkers.
Yeah, fantastic. I mentioned the award that you won earlier. Can you elaborate what that was? And are there plans to bring it to other platforms like Android, Windows, and so on?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we were really fortunate to win an Apple Design Award last June, just a few weeks after we released the app, which was huge for us. We're the second kids app in history to win one, and it really just meant the world to us. So yeah, currently we're only available on iOS, so iPad and iPhone, but we will be bringing Pock Pock to Android hopefully very soon. We don't have a launch date just yet, but we're working on it.
Okay. So it's very much an app opposed to a website. Got it. All right. And then finally, how much does Pock Pock cost?
So there's a monthly and an annual option. In Canada, it costs $11.49 a month or $75.99 for the year.
All right, Melissa. Well, congratulations on the success of Pock Pock to date. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
How technology can help combat veteran homelessness when we return on Tech Talk. Welcome back to Tech Talk, everyone. This show is powered by Chevrolet Canada. Charge up and go places with the Chevrolet Bolt EUV, the affordable electric crossover that moves with the current of life. What does an all-electric future look like? It looks sleek, with bold styling that gives way to a roomy, refined interior with seating for up to 5. It looks bright, with an available illuminated charge port for convenience and flair. The future looks like the Chevrolet Bolt EUV. Electric, now for everyone. Let's bolt. Visit Chevrolet.ca for more. There's been a lot of buzz lately about the metaverse, this fusion of digital and physical worlds coming together, and with several applications ranging from education and entertainment to commerce and communication. But what about philanthropy? Now, this is neat, as Home Equity Bank is our guest to fill us in. Joining us on the line is Senior Vice President Vivian Gauci. Hi, Vivian. Nice to chat with you.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Sure thing. Of course, the internet is a godsend for charities because it's so easy for people to donate. But leveraging the metaverse is intriguing to me. Before we talk about the virtual Homes for Heroes Village campaign and your work tied to bringing awareness to veteran homelessness, tell us a bit about Home Equity Bank.
Sure. Well, thanks, Mark, for having me again. So Home Equity Bank is a federally regulated Schedule I bank. You might know us better as the providers of the CHIP reverse mortgage. We've been in business for over 35 years. And what we do really is we help Canadians age 55 and better, I like to say, supplement their retirement strategy with the ability to access the equity in their homes. So in essence, basically, Canadians can live in the homes that they so dearly love for as long as they want to, and they have the dignity and the independence of being able to stay in their home.
All right, got it. And I really did want to invite you on to talk about the creation of a virtual Homes for Heroes village, speaking of homes, in the what's called Decentraland metaverse. First, to bring everyone up to speed, what is the metaverse exactly?
Sure, Mark. Actually, it's super interesting. I almost like to think about it as a 3D version of the internet where you have a virtual world and you can access it via browser, but literally you're in a 3D situation. So you can actually have an avatar that represents you and you can walk around and you can add to it using a VR headset or an AR headset, but you don't need to. You could just, like I said, use your browser and walk around and experience almost an internet-like setting, but in 3D context.
Okay, so VR is, of course, virtual reality, where you don a headset and you're fully immersed in a 360-degree world, where AR, or augmented reality, glasses, or through your smartphone's camera lens, still lets you see the environment around you, but digital information is layered on top. So the metaverse can often be accessed through different kinds of devices. And Decentraland metaverse, what is that exactly?
So Decentraland is just one of the 3D worlds where you can access this environment that we talked about. Right. And you can go in and interact with other individuals who might be visiting or other brands or companies that may have set up an establishment there.
Yeah, a virtual plot of land, if you will. So with that in mind, yeah, please tell us about this partnership to engage with Canadians. What's this project all about?
Well, Mark, I'm really excited about this this initiative. In essence, what we've done is we've partnered with this fantastic organization called Homes for Heroes. This organization helps veterans who may have, for whatever reason, fallen on hard times in their journey of reintegrating into civilian life. And they, you know, they might need some help in getting the dignity of having a roof over their head. So for whatever reason, they're falling on hard times, they're struggling, and Homes for Heroes is aiming to build villages that can help these veterans have some temporary housing and help them get back on their feet and get back on the road to fully integrating into civilian society. In fact, an interesting stat is that 4.4% of homeless individuals in communities across Canada happen to be veterans. So it's a problem because these are individuals who stood on guard for us, in essence, are needing help now, and this organization is looking to help them. So what we did was we partnered with Homes for Heroes to build a replica of one of these villages that they want to build in Kingston, Ontario. And so what you can do is you can actually go into this village and experience what this will look like. You can go in, you walk into a central square, you can see the homes. The homes are built in almost like to face inwards, which basically mimics the barrack style that, you know, some of these individuals are used to living in when they were in service, and helps provide a lot of social support because of the nature of the village, of how it's set up. But in Decentraland, you can go into this Homes for Heroes space and literally experience what this village in Kingston is going to look like.
All right, fascinating. So it's kind of like a video game in the sense that you see your character, your avatar in front of you walking around, and you can virtually see what this Homes for Heroes village is going to look like in real life, or IRL, as the kids say, in Kingston, Ontario, but you get to virtually experience it from your perspective using either a computer or a VR headset.
Correct, Mark. And just to clarify, it is only on your desktop browser that okay. You're not able to access it via your phone, unfortunately, but this is how you access Decentraland, is through a desktop browser. And literally, you can walk around, you can see each home, you can actually walk into the homes so that you can actually, and what a great little setup they have. And then you can walk out, and in the center of the square, there's an opportunity for you to actually donate to help actually raise funds towards making this village an actual reality.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that next, how you actually donate in the metaverse. We are chatting with Vivian Gauci. She is SVP of Home Equity Bank, which has partnered with Homes for Heroes to create a virtual village in the Decentraland metaverse to help combat veteran homelessness. And that includes making donations as well, which we're now going to hear about from Vivian. So please explain, if you can, how you actually can donate. There's a place in the village where you can pay using, say, a credit card or cryptocurrency or something.
It's really up to you, Mark. You've mentioned both of the ways that you can make a donation. I don't have a crypto wallet right now, so I just went ahead and donated using a credit card. The credit card actually is on the Homes for Heroes site, so it actually just kind of, you click on the donation box and it'll take you right to Homes for Heroes. But you do have the option, if you do have a crypto wallet, you can absolutely donate using crypto as well.
And from what I understand, donors also get an NFT, a non-fungible token, to wear. Can you please elaborate?
Yeah, so if you just visit the village, you'll get a POAP badge. POAP, I've recently learned, stands for Proof of Attendance Protocol.
Okay.
So you get one that's specifically for the Homes for Heroes village. And then if you donate and you happen to have set up an account in Decentraland and you have your avatar, you get a wearable NFT badge so that you can actually have it on you. It'll be on the back of your shirt.
Very cool. Very high tech. And before we wrap up, I understand you have some stats that show veteran homelessness is one issue that many Canadians feel strongly about.
Absolutely. We did some research and we found that 9 in 10 Canadians agree that no veteran should face homelessness. I couldn't agree more. In that same study, we found that the same amount of Canadians feel that not enough is being done to end homelessness for veterans. You know, when we looked at what we could do to help raise awareness for this issue and how we could help support Homes for Heroes, what we found was that over half of Canadians, so one out of every two Canadians, agreed that they'd be more likely to explore the metaverse if it had some kind of positive real-world impact. So we decided what a great way to use a very virtual platform to raise awareness of a very real issue.
Awesome. Is there a website, Vivian, where we can learn more or how to get going?
I'd love everyone to go and visit, check it out at makethisvillagereal.com. You'll get taken right to the Decentraland village. You have to create an avatar if you don't have one yet, and then you'll get dropped right into the square and you'll be able to start walking around and exploring and learning more about this wonderful organization that is Homes for Heroes.
MakeThisVillageReal.com. And what's the website for Home Equity Bank?
www.chip.ca.
Thank you so much, Vivian. Congrats on the launch of this initiative. I'll be sure to check it out.
Amazing, Mark.
When we return on Tech Talk, the best PCs to run your business, when we chat with Intel. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Tech Talk. For the past 2 months, we've been learning all about the Intel vPro platform for businesses, big and small, and how IT professionals can become the IT hero of their organization with these handpicked Intel-powered PCs. We've chatted about Intel vPro Enterprise, Intel vPro Essentials, the security benefits, remote management features, and to wrap up our discussion today about Intel Evo, I'm thrilled to be joined on the line by Asma Aziz. She's Marketing Director for the Americas at Intel. Welcome back to the show, Asma.
Hey, Mark. Glad to be here today.
Yeah, great to chat with you again. Before we talk about Intel Evo, why don't we start with a quick overview of Intel vPro?
Sure, Mark. So the Intel vPro platform really is built for businesses. I know you guys have been talking about it a lot in detail in the last couple of months. So when you really see a device with an Intel vPro badge or sticker, as we commonly call it, you can expect the PC really to have the right ingredients which meet the needs of today's businesses. And what does the platform actually deliver? It delivers strong performance and productivity because you know that it uses the latest Intel Core processors. It is, of course, very stable, which is important for business users. It's got built-in security features, which is hardware-based built-in security, which means that you have protection against malware attacks. Also, it's got remote manageability. That means that the IT teams could get access to PCs, do remote software updates, remote troubleshooting. And I think these last two features, Mark, are super important for today's businesses, particularly their IT teams.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, you know, post-pandemic, working at home or a hybrid approach is certainly the way it is today. So you need IT professionals to be able to remotely access an employee's PC, wherever they may be, and make sure that everything's up to date and secure. Even more relevant and important today, I would agree with you, Asma. Now, I've talked about Intel Evo in the past when it comes to consumer PCs, but I understand that there are some Intel vPro machines that are also Intel Evo certified. Can you talk to us about what Intel Evo is all about?
For sure, Mark. So this was a multi-year initiative from Intel where we spent a lot of time studying our consumers and what they really need from a PC. You know that the lifestyle is constantly changing. Most of us are becoming road warriors. We are on the go and we want our PCs to really seamlessly fit this lifestyle change. So we at Intel, we co-engineered these premium line of laptops, as we call them, in collaboration with some of the largest manufacturers across the world, our OEM partners, and this exciting Evo laptops were born. And what does Evo do? So it really helps users get that right experience. It has seamless connectivity, you know, Wi-Fi capabilities built in, and all of those features that, you know, are important to the user.
All right, thanks for that. So whether you buy a Dell, an HP, Lenovo, LG, Asus, and so on, if it has an Intel Evo badge or sticker on the laptop, for example, then that ticks all the boxes that it's going to have instant startup times, long battery life, fast performance, fast Wi-Fi, like Wi-Fi 6, other connectivity options like Thunderbolt or USB-C. So it meets all the stringent criteria that Intel sets out, then it earns that sticker. So it's kind of like the best of the best.
Absolutely.
All right. So it sounds like there's Intel Evo and then there's vPro, which are the business grade or business class computers. They've come together and they deliver a, let's call it, best of both worlds experience. Can you talk about that integration a little bit more?
Absolutely. One way to look at it, vPro is built for businesses. For example, it offers Intel Hardware Shield, which really provides system level protection and security features. It also has Intel Active Management Technology or Intel AMT, which is really a cloud-based PC fleet management or remote manageability features. Evo focuses on user experience. When we combine both vPro and Evo platform together, we create these class of devices that not only provide us business class performance, comprehensive security features, but it's also stylish and sleek designs, really all the bells and whistles together.
We are chatting with Asma Aziz, Marketing Director for the Americas at Intel Corporation. We're chatting about the fusion, if you will, of Intel vPro for businesses and Intel Evo, which is a slew of other features to give you a best-in-class experience. So with that in mind, let's unpack these Evo standards or features, if you will.
Definitely, Mark. So Intel has developed, like I said, set of specifications for things such as size, weight, responsiveness, so that, like you said, irrespective of whichever brand of laptops or the PCs you buy, so long that it has an Evo badge or a sticker there, you could be rest assured that it is coming with all the bells and whistles and has all the right feature set which is needed for today's lifestyle and today's consumer. And some of the features which are very, very important in Evo are consistent responsiveness, longer battery lives, 9 hours and above, Mark. You know, so on, and that's in real life workloads. I'm not talking about, you know, something that we do in a lab under some, you know, special conditions.
Right.
Yeah.
Real world.
Yeah. So in the real world, full HD display, all the works, you could get 9 hours plus of battery life. With just a 30-minute charge, you could get easily more than 4 hours of battery, again, in the real world workloads.
Great.
It's also got something very important, instant wake. So it wakes up in less than 1 second. You remember, Mark, back in the day, we would turn on our laptops. You could easily go make your coffee and then your laptop or the PC was still gone. Gone are those days. It's almost like that seamless experience. You know how you wake up and you touch your cell phone and it comes to life? This is what the Evo machines do. You know, that's instant wake, which is also important. And again, then the responsiveness, you know, connectivity are important features, like we spoke about, because of the Intel Wi-Fi 6, 6E, and Thunderbolt, it allows your best-in-class Wi-Fi experience and connectivity, which is obviously super important for these devices. So these are, I think, some of the features which make these devices not only a premium experience, but it's an exceptional experience altogether for the user.
Speaking of connectivity and collaboration, we know that today's work reality includes video calling like we're doing right now and video collaboration. Does Intel Evo Design consider this?
Absolutely. Intel Evo Design, Mark, as we discussed before, looks at a slew of factors and slew of experiences. And of course, you know, the collaboration is an important piece. It's got this built-in intelligent collaboration with, you know, features like noise suppression, background blur, face framing, lightning correction, you know, all of the things that, you know, make you look your best and sound your best, you know, when you're on apps like Teams, Zoom, or other collaborative applications. And I'd like to mention here, Mark, that with Intel Evo Designs, your users can really expect up to 66% lower latency. Latency, as you know, means lag on real-time voice and video calls. That's super important. You remember, you know, back in the day, sometimes you'd be talking and then there'll be a lag and then the other person would respond. And, you know, that's not a great experience. But with all these specifications built into these platforms, all of these things are considered. And essentially, the user gets the best-in-class experience.
Before we wrap up, Asma, who would you say benefits from Intel Evo PCs?
So I would say, Mark, Intel Evo specs are both for consumers, but they can also be used for commercial. So why am I saying this? The research tells us that consumers and corporate users have many of the same wants, right? So we want our devices to be thin and light so we can move around easily. That is something that both kind of users need. We want devices to be responsive. We want good audio video quality. We want absolutely great Wi-Fi connectivity. So these are some of the features both users want.
Right. And no trade-offs, right? You want all that power and long battery life, but you want a thin and light device as well. Like, it's like we're not willing to trade anything.
Absolutely. And Intel Evo, of course, offers all of this. And then when you add the Intel vPro to that, you really get a business level performance for your PCs that meets the needs of today's businesses. And like I said, as well as the IT departments, because, you know, having that highly functional PC does wonders for employees. We've seen that, you know, when the employees get a good experience, they feel less frustration, they feel less downtime. That means that their productivity is increased and they can enjoy that experience, which means that, you know, the businesses is going to get more out of it. So I think it's a win-win all the way.
All right. As we wrap up, Asma, where can we learn more about Intel Evo and Intel vPro PCs?
Sure. The easiest way to learn more is by visiting intel.ca/vpro-evo. And like I said, I'd strongly encourage when you're buying and choosing a PC, look for that product badge for Intel Evo, Intel Evo vPro, so that you know that all the stuff that Mark and I spoke about today, you're getting all of those features in your PC.
All right. So intel.ca/vpro-evo. Asma, it's always great chatting with you, and I look forward to seeing you in person again sometime soon. Thanks so much for carving out some time to chat. All the best.
Thank you. All the best, Mark.
Speaking of PCs, we're going to catch up with the president and CEO of HP Canada when we return. You're listening to Tech Talk, brought to you in part by LG Canada and its award-winning Ergo monitors. Experience a comfortable, more flexible desktop setup. Ergo Design brings an innovative ergonomic arm to fit your needs. Secure the stand, monitor, and cables with its C-clamp, one-clip mount, and simple cable management in seconds. Easily adjust the pivot, height, and tilt, and work with improved posture and productivity. Learn more about the LG Ergo monitors at lg.ca. Speaking of computers, when it comes to sustainability, many tech companies claim to have made advancements in things like using less energy, aggressive recycling programs, smart packaging, reducing waste, and so on. But I'd argue no one can hold a candle to HP. They really do put their money where their mouth is in this department. And so to talk about sustainability, including findings from HP's latest Sustainable Impact Report, I'm thrilled to have back onto the show Marianne Newell. She's president and CEO at HP Canada. Hi, Marianne. Good to chat with you again.
Hey, Mark. It's great to be here.
Pleasure's all mine. Why don't we start off at a high level? Why is sustainability such an important pillar to HP?
Well, sustainability is an important pillar to everybody. You know, we know at HP that we need to stand for more than the products and technologies and solutions and services that we sell, which is why sustainable impact is both a business imperative and a key differentiator for HP. You know, leading with purpose has always been at the center of the HP way for a very, very, very long time. And more our customers are asking us to deliver more than just great products and solutions. They're looking for us to lead on environmental stewardship and social justice.
Before we talk about HP's recent acquisition of a company called Choose Packaging and a partnership with Laverne, a Montreal-based organization, what are some of HP's environmental-related efforts to date? I'm thinking of things like recycling end-of-life devices, more eco-friendly packaging, that kind of thing.
Sure. We've got a lot going on in that space. We've put our energy into three areas where we can make the most impact, including carbon emissions, circularity, and forests. Through our commitments and our alliances with partners who share values alike, we're transforming our business to achieve some of the most aggressive and comprehensive climate action goals in the industry. You know, it's not only the right thing to do, but it's also an increasingly important fuel of innovation. One of the ways we're investing in our planet is by explicitly focusing on expanding nature-based solutions. More than 4.7 billion recycled plastic bottles have been used by HP to manufacture new HP original ink cartridges as part of our closed loop system. 4.7 billion plastic bottles.
Oh, wow.
I know, it's really a lot. And we're doing all of this from, you know, taking things out of the ocean-bound environment. Consumers are growing increasingly aware of their purchasing habits and their impact on the environment. So we're continuing to build out a portfolio of sustainable products that includes ocean-bound plastics. Those ocean-bound plastics are any plastics found within 50 kilometers of a waterway or a coastal area that have not been collected, and they're likely not going to be. And once they reach the ocean, they're almost impossible to collect. So through HP's Planet Partner Program, we upcycle this plastic material and create new hardware and print supplies in our printers and in our PCs like the Dragonfly or the Envy and in many, many more.
Yeah, super impressive. I remember, by the way, interviewing Frances Edmonds on stage at various conferences. Is she still the head of sustainable impact at HP Canada?
Yes, she is. Frances is still with us.
Yeah,
she's
awesome.
Doing great work. Yes, thank you. She's doing great work in many places within our government environments, within our customers, and in just generally talking about this and having people reconsider how they're making their purchases to actually really, truly make conscious decisions for those organizations that are investing in sustainable technologies and products.
Fantastic. Now let's pivot and chat about this latest sustainable impact report that HP commissioned. What did you set out to find and what were some of the key findings?
Well, I mean, that's an amazing report we do. We've been doing that for 21 years. This is our 21st annual sustainable impact report. And this is where we share the progress we're making in the areas we're leading and the opportunities for us to do more. We have established a very comprehensive set of goals that we plan to achieve by 2030 to combat climate change, advance human rights, and accelerate digital equity. Global challenges exist for everybody, and they're testing the very foundation of our society, you know, from the ongoing pandemic to accelerating the climate crisis to the persistent inequality. These are all challenges that are impacting all of us. And our ambitious goals are rooted in science and they're aligned to the UN Sustainable Development Goals. So we've got a lot of effort focused on that. You know, in climate action, for example, we have a 44% reduction in single-use plastic packaging versus 2018. In the first year of tracking, we've counteracted deforestation for 23% of non-HP paper used in our devices. We have more ENERGY STAR certified devices than any other manufacturer. And if you look at the human rights and digital equity side of things, we're accelerating digital equity by enabling better learning outcomes for 74 million people towards a goal of 100 million. That's up from 50 million in 2020. So we've got a lot of efforts in a lot of areas that we publish in our report, but we publish it so that we keep ourselves on track and so that we can share it with everyone else so they can see what HP is doing and perhaps learn from that, take advantage of those learnings and emulate that in their own environments as well. Our programs aim to accelerate digital equity through providing hardware, connectivity, content, or digital literacy.
And speaking of which, last time you were on the program, Marianne, it was tied to International Women's Day. So I know HP has done a lot when it comes to inclusion and equity and diversity in the workplace, setting an example for many other tech companies. So thank you for that. We are chatting with Marianne Yule, President and CEO of HP Canada. We are chatting about sustainability today. And with that in mind, can you talk to us about the company's recent acquisition of, again, the company's called Choose Packaging, and a partnership with a Montreal-based company that specializes in circular plastics?
Sure, I'd be very happy to talk about those. We recently acquired Choose Packaging, a startup that created the world's first commercially available zero plastic paper bottle. So we're excited about the opportunity to disrupt this $10 billion market, but it's just one more step in transforming this industry. So very excited about Choose Packaging because they can bring customizable fiber-based products to market faster and more affordably through the 3D printing enablement. Hmm. And we continue to work with our partner at Laverne Group. We've had a partnership with this Montreal-based company for a very long time, like 18 years. And we've worked together to take recycled clothing hangers and plastic bottles and create new HP print cartridges. It's also enabled us to recycle old printers and build new ones in other electronics. And as I mentioned already, more than 4.7 billion recycled plastic bottles have been used by HP to manufacture new original HP ink cartridges as part of this closed loop system. And Laverne Group, like HP, looks for ways to push boundaries through innovation. So recently, Laverne Group has worked to extract value from plastic waste streams that are unusable today. And these innovations help Laverne to provide HP increasing amounts of high-quality post-consumer closed-loop plastic resin, which will ultimately grow the amount of recycled plastics to build new HP printers.
Awesome. All right. Now, before we wrap up, Marianne, do you have any recommendations on how our listeners can better recycle household electronic devices? I usually refer people, by the way, to recyclemyelectronics.ca, which I understand HP is a key steward.
Yes, we are. And I'm very familiar with that organization. They do great work. As you may know, a few years ago, I was actually on the EPRA board and their governance committee.
Oh, fantastic.
Chaired that committee, which is part of this recyclemyelectronics.ca. Some Canadians, they were able to save a little extra money over the last 2 years of lockdowns, and they're looking to spend in new electronics. So rather than throw away your old one as you replace it with new one, donate it or recycle it or repurpose it. Take steps to keep your electronics out of landfills. That's a really effective strategy to reduce the need for new raw materials and keeps useful resources in circulations. And while we can leverage all the great work that our government is doing around tougher regulations to reduce e-waste in our landfills, there's many ways that you, me, all of us can recycle and reuse technologies through places like Recycle My Electronics, or by leveraging places like, you know, HP Planet Partners Program, and other manufacturers have similar ones, where we at HP offer a free recycling program for Canadians where they can drop off, mail back, or schedule a pickup of old toner cartridges that they no longer need.
Okay, great. So that website again is recyclemyelectronics.ca. And then to learn more about the Sustainable Impact Report, Marianne, I believe it's simply hp.ca. And then there's a little search window at the top. All you have to do is type in Sustainable Impact and it'll take you to that downloadable report for a deeper dive. Marianne Yule, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much for carving out some time.
Thanks so very much, Mark. It was great talking with you.
Thank you for tuning in to Tech Talk this hour. Hope you enjoyed it. A huge thank you to Chevrolet Canada, the folks behind the Chevrolet Bolt EUV, the all-electric crossover that's coming soon. You can check it out at chevrolet.ca. All the best, everyone. Have a great rest of your weekend. And we'll catch up with you next time for another episode of Tech Talk. Bye-bye for now.